Well, in Mark chapter 10, verse 13 to 16, then they brought the little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. When Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms and laid his hands on them and blessed them. First thing we notice in Mark 10:13 is that they brought little children to him. And the word in the Greek is actually masculine, which means that it was fathers and mothers. It would have been both together, brought the little children to him. Interesting to see that the fathers were involved here. The fathers were caring. The fathers were concerned. Sometimes fathers have the attitude to leave the care of the children solely to the mothers and not realize that we have a grave responsibility as fathers to take time to be with children and to bring them for blessing. The other thing to notice here is that they brought the little children to Jesus. And friends, we live in a culture today where parents are concerned for their children. They want their children to have the best of everything. They bring them to sports, and they get them involved in activities, and they run around all over everywhere, taking them from one thing to the other. But do they bring them to Jesus? Do you bring children to Jesus? Some of you are grandparents, some of you are parents. Is it your passion and desire to bring children to Jesus Christ? If you're in a local church, is it the church's passion to reach children with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Friends, there is no better place to take children. There's no one who can do more for your children than Jesus Christ. And yet we think that we take them to all these other things and we neglect bringing them to Christ. And we miss the greatest blessing that our children can have. Oh, friends, you can bring your children to Jesus by praying for them. You can lift them up to God, and it is the responsibility of parents to be lifting their children up to the Lord. Who else is going to pray for them? Who else is going to care for their souls? Needs to be you. Now, for some parents that are in the sound of this message, you need to come to Jesus yourself first, so that you might be able to bring your children to Jesus with real conviction, not drop them off at a church door or a Sunday school meeting and then go on your own merry way and do whatever you want. Children are taught not only by what you speak, but by example more than anything else. If they see fathers and mothers who love Jesus Christ, if they find you praying, if they find you living for God, it's going to speak to them. They may get rebellious, they may go in other directions, but they will not forget if you truly walk with God. They will come back to the right path eventually. They brought the little children to him. Where are you bringing your children? Where are you bringing your grandchildren? Are you bringing them to Jesus? You can bring them, as I already said, in prayer. You can pray with them. That is, that they come into the presence of the throne of God with you. What a powerful thing that is. You're bringing them into the throne room of grace with yourself. But if you never go yourself, you're not likely to be praying with your children. Do you pray with your children? Oh, what privileges there are. What blessing there is to do this, friends. You can bring them to services where they will hear the word of God, where they will be amongst the people of God, where they hopefully will see that Christians love one another. You can bring them to children's meetings where they get opportunity to hear the word of God taught to them in Sunday school. Oh, we need to be bringing children to Jesus Christ. That's what these folks were doing. And they were bringing them to Jesus that he might touch them. Yes, Jesus Christ delights to touch people. Now you might say, well, he's not here physically. How can I bring them? We've already said some of the ways we can do that, and by reading the Word of God to them. But the reality is that he still touches people. By the person and power and presence of the Holy Spirit, he can touch their lives. He can bring blessing into their souls. Oh, can I encourage you, bring the children to Jesus. But it says the disciples rebuked those who brought them. This is a very strong word. This is like, get lost. You're bothering Jesus. He's got more important things to do. We don't need you making long lines here of bringing your kids to Jesus. They did not value these children. Oh, this is a tragedy. Oh, the patience that Jesus had with his disciples when you stop and think about what it was that they were doing here. They were rebuking. They told them to get lost. Go away. We don't want you here. I don't imagine that they said, well, you know, Jesus is kind of busy right now, and maybe you could come back a little bit later. Not when you hear the word, the disciples rebuked those who brought them. It signifies that they did not think that it was a wise thing to do, and that it was a waste of Jesus' time. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. This was not just a casual or flippant thing. He was greatly displeased. These disciples, we've already been seeing as we've gone through this gospel, they have been in this competition mode as to who's the best and who's better than who. But somehow here, they have gotten some kind of idea in their mind that little children were less valued than some of the other ones that were there. And that is the problem. That is a problem that not only do those disciples have, but sometimes we do too. Do you value people less? Do you look at other people and perhaps you don't think they're quite as good or whatever as you are? Do we have regards for certain more than others? May God forgive us if we have. May we repent of it. May we not find ourselves turning people away. I remember listening to Jim Cimbala, who's pastor of a huge church in Brooklyn, New York. And he has 2 or 3 services a day. And he said at the end of this one Sunday, he was totally exhausted. And this is a big church. I've been to this church in Brooklyn. And he said, I was just wore out, sitting down on the platform, just resting after the whole day of ministry. And he said, I saw this guy coming down to the front. Now, everybody else was mostly gone. And they do, because they're right in the middle of the city of Brooklyn, part of New York. And they're in the middle of this place where there are lots of drug addicts. There are lots of people who are down and out. And he could see one coming to see him. And he said they had people that looked after that. There were deacons who watched for these people and looked for opportunity to help them any way they could, and to counsel with them, and to, if they were looking for funds, to trying to channel things in a way where the funds wouldn't be used or abused, but they needed food, whatever. But he said he wondered, how did this guy get by these other people? And here he is coming down to see me. So as he came close, he thought, I'm too tired to deal with this guy. So he said, I reached in and I felt in my wallet and I got $20 and I took it out and just went to hand it to him. So here. And this man said to him, I don't want your money. I want Jesus. And what a great rebuke came over him as he realized that he wasn't thinking about this man. He wasn't thinking about his soul. His attitude was wrong. You know, he prayed with that man, and that man came to Jesus Christ. Not only did he come to Christ, but he went on to be a preacher of the gospel. And he was absolutely filthy that day, and the Spirit of God told him to give him a hug. He was even reluctant to do that, but he said he did. And even though he stunk of everything you could imagine, said it was one of the sweetest smells on earth. He became a preacher of the gospel, a totally transformed man, and a great friend of Jim Cimbala. My friends, God is not prejudiced. Do not turn people away, but bring them into the presence of God. So Jesus was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." He turned that all around. He said, "Look, allow them to come to me." Now, when the word "let the little children come to me" means do not hinder them. Friends, don't be a hindrance to people coming to Jesus. Don't be a hindrance to anyone. Don't hold people back. Don't stop them from coming. But rather, we should be the people that are pointing people to Jesus. Don't get in the way. Sometimes, sadly, we're the wall that stops people from seeing Jesus. Sometimes by our attitudes, sometimes by how we treat people, sometimes by our indifference, we're putting up walls. Oh, let's be those that are inviting people into the presence of God. Do not forbid them. Now, he spoke about the little children in this circumstance. But then he goes on to say, "For of such is the kingdom of God." Of such is the kingdom of God. Now, how is it that little children are like the people who are part of the kingdom of God? Well, he says in Mark 10:15, "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." He takes an opportunity here to teach them the reality that we need to come as little children ourselves, that those who will come into the kingdom of God need to be humbled, need to know their need. That's what children do. They know their need. They put their trust in their caregiver, and they know that they are not strong. They know they need help. Do you know that? Do you know today that you're not strong and that you need help and that really you need to come as a little child? And if you don't, you will not enter the kingdom of God. So when we look at this passage, we see that Jesus was rebuking them because they were being a hindrance to these little children getting the blessing from God. But I want you to know that we are not to be a hindrance to others coming into the presence of God. We ought to be a help, not a hindrance. Years ago, I remember seeing this little picture, a tract, and in this drawing, there was a woman who had her son who was broken. It was obvious he was broken from addictions or whatever. Anyway, she was trying, there was a picture of the cross in front of him, and there was a preacher in between the cross and this woman. And he was making great lofty words about God, and she said to him, "Sir, will you get out of the way? My son needs to see Jesus." Oh, friends, are you in the way? Are you in the way so that people don't get to see Jesus? Are you a hindrance to people coming to see Jesus? Get out of the way. Rather, turn yourself around and get to see Jesus. Somehow these disciples didn't really know. And yet the Lord was patient with them, and my friend, the Lord is patient with you. Do we fail? Yes, we do. Do we come short? Yes. Have we been prejudiced at times? We have. But may God give us grace to be different, to be those who are not a hindrance, but a help to those coming to the Lord. Let's take great care with our attitudes and how we see people and how we treat people. Let's not create expectations of how we think people should be if they want to come to Jesus, but rather lets them come as they are, stinky and smelly and whatever, and be ready to be there with them at the throne of grace. We notice in Mark 10:16 that not only did these little children come to Jesus, they were brought. The barriers were taken down by the Lord himself. It was the custom for a rabbi to lay their hands on children and to pray a prayer blessing over them. But Jesus did much more than that. It says he took them up in his arms. He lifted them up in his arms. The literal Greek is that he enfolded his arms around them. And he laid his hands on them and he blessed them. This is a picture of the wonderful, tender care of God. What a contrast between this and the disciples who were forbidding them to come. And here's Jesus not just giving them a quick prayer of blessing and sending them on the way because there's a long line up here. He takes them up in his arms and he puts his hands on them and prays the blessing upon them. Oh, friends, this is a wonderful, beautiful picture of the incredible love of God. And it's not only a beautiful picture of the love of God for the little children, it's a picture of the love of God for those who will come as little children. Oh, friends, he wants to take you up in his arms. He wants to fold his arms around you. He wants to pour out blessing upon you. Even today, Jesus is saying, come to me, and I will give you rest. This Savior, this Son of God, who died on the cross for your sins and mine, who suffered an ultimate price to bring you to himself, is not standing there with his arms folded to himself and saying, stay away from me. I don't want you. I don't need you. But if you will come humbly to Jesus Christ this very day, his arms will be open wide. He will take you up in his arms and hold you and bless you. What a beautiful little story this is. What a picture it is of the mercy and the grace and the kindness of Almighty God, that you can come to Jesus Christ. So as we look at the overall story, we understand that we dare not be prejudiced. We dare not be a hindrance to others coming to Christ. But we need to come to him ourselves. We need to get up in his arms. We need to experience the deep, rich love of God. And as we do, oh, we won't get in the way then. Oh, we will tell others, come to Jesus. Come and see. Come and be lifted up by him. Experience his loving arms around you. And he will take you up and he will bless. God bless you, and may you be one who comes to Jesus as a little child. And may you be an encouragement and a blessing in every way, that as many as possible will be found in the arms of a wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.